Defying Western sanctions and condemnation, Russian President Vladimir Putin has signed the treaty, making the Crimean Peninsula a part of the Russian Federation. In a fiery address to the Russian parliament, he slammed Western hypocrisy and its rejection of Crimea's self-determination. He also blasted the authorities in Kiev for stealing power in what he called a coup. As the West scrambles to respond to the recent developments while trying to preserve its own economic interests, in this edition of the debate here on Press TV, we discuss what is at stake and what lies ahead. Stay with us.
Crimean leaders and Russian President Vladimir Putin have signed a treaty which makes Crimea part of the Russian Federation. The document was signed 2 days after Crimea's referendum, in which residents overwhelmingly backed separation from Ukraine and rejoining Russia. In a televised speech before inking the agreement, Putin defended Crimea's referendum as democratic and legal.
Crimea has always been an integral part of Russia in the hearts and minds of people, and it can only be Russia today.
Putin said that what Russia is doing in Crimea is in accordance with international law and dismissed the West's allegations that Moscow had violated such norms. The Russian president also rejected the West's criticism of the Crimean vote as illegitimate. He accused the U.S. and its Western allies of adopting double standards on similar situations in the world.
They've pressured everyone to recognize Kosovo. Now they're indignant. Why? The actions of Crimea fall in line with their own memo. So why can Albanians do one thing and then the same thing would be denied to Ukrainians and Russians and Crimean Tatars in Crimea?
Further in his remarks, Putin accused the West of deceiving Russia.
We always offer cooperation on a variety of issues. We want to build confidence. We want to work on an equitable basis. We want to have honest relations. But we didn't see any reciprocity. We were cheated. We were deceived. Some decisions were taken behind our back.
Western states have strongly criticized Crimea for rejoining Russia. U.S. Vice President Joe Biden has called the region's integration into Russia a land grab. German Chancellor Angela Merkel has leveled similar accusation against Moscow. British Foreign Secretary William Hague has in the meantime said his country has suspended all military cooperation with Russia. The U.S. and the European Union have also threatened to slap more sanctions against Moscow. Crimea started action to become part of Russia last month when the government of toppled Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych was replaced by a Western-backed interim cabinet. Some analysts believe that Russia's assistance to accept Crimea into its territory is in response to the February developments in Ukraine.
The Russians have been talking about since February 21st, when there was supposed to be a power-sharing deal between the opposition and Yanukovych, the president at that time, and it was immediately rejected by people on the street, which includes some very violent elements, that as soon as the authorities pulled back the police with clubs and Molotov cocktails, seized control of all the government buildings, forcing the government to flee, basically grabbed all the marbles and say, this extreme Western view of Ukraine now will be the only one. We hold all the power, and there's nothing you can do in East Ukraine, nothing you can do in Crimea about it, nothing you can do about it in Moscow. And that's what prompted the Russian response.
Well, let me begin by introducing our guest from New York is the editor of MediaChannel.org, Danny Schechter, and also from Boston, we have the research associate of Massachusetts Institute of Technology, Jim Walsh. Now, let me begin with you, Mr. Schechter. Now, Russia has time and again emphasized the situation in Ukraine is not of its making. Yet, as we see the West grappling to respond to this recent developments, do you think it had underestimated Russia and the way it would react to the violation of that February 21st agreement?
Well, you know, I think many of us in this country live in a bubble. We live in a cocoon of our own convictions officially. And we don't acknowledge that anyone anywhere in the world might see things differently, particularly in Russia, but also in other countries as well. We have a very simple model that we work with. Putin, bad. The so-called democratic forces, good, whoever they might be, whether they're oligarchs, former fascists or current fascists, or Democrats, for that matter. We tend to simplify politics into you're with us or you're against us. And so, of course, we weren't really listening closely to people who were talking about the history of the Ukraine, who these forces in Kiev were, how they were behaving, and how democracy was put on hold because the current government there has not been elected by anyone either. So now we have a situation where the people in the Crimea have voted to rejoin Russia, but it still has to be ratified by the legislature and the courts in Russia. When that happens, I think you'll see a reintegration of Crimea. But the argument that's being made on our side is as one-sided in some respects as the argument on the other side. But we don't really want to talk with them about the issues as much as impose our view on them.
Well, Mr. Walsh, you've been listening. What do you think? The recent events, a misjudgment on the U.S.'s part about Russia's reaction?
Well, it's certainly true that the intelligence community here did not anticipate, at least has been discussed in public sources, did not anticipate that Russia would move into Crimea. And a recent poll was done just on the eve of the annexation, before Russia moved in, a poll of about 200 scholars. Some were security studies specialists, some were Russia specialists, specialists in international affairs. And by an 80-20 mark, they did not anticipate that Russia would move into Crimea. I'm happy to say my colleague at MIT, Carol Savitz, did predict that was going to happen, and she unfortunately turned out to be right. So I do think that most analysts in the government and outside of the government were surprised by Putin's move. Whether they should have been or not, I can't say, but they did get it wrong. I think we have to be clear here. There are not a lot of good guys in this story, but I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever that this is a violation of Ukraine's sovereignty. This is clearly a land grab by the use of force and then a sort of sham vote while there are troops on the ground that have just, after this territory was seized. So, I have a lot of problems with Putin. I also think, though, that the U.S. policy here and the European policy has not been wise. Russia has always been concerned about having buffer states on its border. And in some ways, that Russia would act in this way, it's a callback to old power politics, but Putin is a power politics sort of guy. So I think we're in a lose-lose situation right now. This is going to be costly for Russia, and it's going to be costly for Europe as well.
Well, Mr. Walsh, it's interesting that you brought up the legality of the referendum in Crimea. Now, we just heard Putin earlier today, and he blasted the West for its hypocrisy. And I quote his words. He said, "They recognize Kosovo's secession from Serbia legitimate while arguing that no permission from a country's central authority for a unilateral declaration of independence is necessary." He does have a point, doesn't he?
Well, if you're asking is there hypocrisy in modern international politics, I guess the answer would have to be yes. But that doesn't mean what he did was constitutional, right? These are two different arguments. I'm sure, I'm not a Kosovo specialist. I can't really speak to that. But I'm sure if we come through post-Cold War history in the last couple of decades, four decades or so, we could certainly, not four decades, but the last several decades, we could find instances where nations have acted hypocritically on this issue and have acted in their own self-interest and ignored international law. I mean, certainly the invasion of Iraq didn't have any UN mandate under George Bush. But that doesn't change the fact that sending troops in and seizing territory is against the law, even if others have done it as well.
All right, Mr. Schechter, you seem ready to jump in. Go ahead.
Well, can I speak to that? Because, constitutional is a very interesting formulation, because the current government in Kiev, which has not been elected and which has already taken steps to eliminate opposing parties and points of view, drove the president out of town, and violated an agreement that the president there thought he had reached, however corrupt he might have been, to share power, is not in a position to talk about what's constitutional and what isn't constitutional, when in that country, as you know very well, even people at MIT know this, the country is dominated by a bunch of oligarchs. These are hardly democratic forces. Now, there is a movement of self-determination in the Ukraine, which I respect a great deal. But using terms like constitutional, using terms like land grab, which is what Mr. Biden said earlier today, really doesn't help us understand it. What we understand